Good evening, guys. How are you both? Hey, Marty. Hey, Ken. How are you both?
Hank, good to see you. You're up late.
Up late, mate. 11 p.m. here in the not so bright UK, but all for the cause, mate. All for the cause. You know me. I've got no off switch. It doesn't matter what time it is, I'm there. I'm there. The only time I stop is when I'm asleep, mate. So yeah, how's things? You okay?
Yeah, good. Good. Just trying to decompress. Had a good workout today. The leg stuff we talked about, I sent you some videos, and that was really working for me. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to your feedback on that. And well, I'll see you tomorrow.
We've got a call tomorrow, haven't we?
Yep, tomorrow morning for me. Morning for me.
Morning for you, later on for me. So I should be awake by then after this late night. Hey guys, hey John, hey Mike, hey Bill, how are you all?
Doing well.
Yeah, how's things, mate? Been a little while since I've seen you. How's things going?
It's so heavy.
Yeah.
It's wildly busy. So I'm here at my son's ninja class hiding in the back corner while he's out on the mats.
Nice,
Oh,
nice, nice.
yeah,
And
very much.
everything's going okay though, right?
It's overwhelming right now. I'm surviving, but it's been a rough month and a half. So this session should be good.
What's been happening, mate? If you're happy to share, give us a little overview. I know you've been posting in the group, but kind of what have you been particularly struggling with at the moment?
Just super busy at work. I had an account manager quit, and so I'm pulling double duty for the last 2 months. The pressure is continuing to mount. I recently got a raise at work, which has been great, but now the expectation to deliver is higher. And I'm currently managing about $46 million worth of business, and I was told this week that they're going to add another account to my portfolio in September. Which is going to add another $6 million worth of headache. And they're trying to find me somebody to help, but it doesn't change the expectations. So I'm finding it a struggle to just keep all the balls in the air at the moment.
I think a good point to note off that is, I think psychology is important in this because, as you've heard Ben saying, as I speak about to my guys, is we've kind of got three cups, right? So we've got your personal, your physical, and your professional. And it's understanding each one of those cups are as important as the other. So when we look at personal, it's your son, it's your family, it's your nearest and dearest, it's your professional is your work life, and your physical is your own journey. So your training and stuff. And I think this talk will come in regards to understanding identity and discipline, because the reality as humans is we're not going to be able to fill all those cups equally over time. But in the same breath, if we've got the correct operating systems in, we're able to almost circumnavigate the fact that it's okay not to fill all those cups. So have we got the operating systems in place to know, and again, what we have available in regards to, so let's look at training in regards to at the moment, you're at your son's ninja class. Professionally, everything's going through the roof. So there's little to no room left. So what is the bare minimum you can do in your physical journey to keep the momentum rolling? And it doesn't have to be kind of a lot of people try to fire on all cylinders in all three of those realms, but it's impossible. All that leads to is burnout, overwhelm, and kind of a lot of other, I don't want to say negative, but kind of traits that kind of allow us to from a negativity bias standpoint, feel like we're failing at something. But the reality is, if we understand that there's a certain balance that's required, and some areas of your life need particular focus at certain times, it alleviates that internal pressure that we feel. And kind of just understanding if you're doing the bare minimum in the physical realm, it's okay. But it's being able to identify, right, in this moment in time, what is the bare minimum? Is it related to nutrition? Is it related to just expenditure from a step goal where you can tie in your steps with spending time with your son? Is it kind of reducing your training sessions from five potentially to three a week? And what can we put into? So it's understanding that these three different elements are always changing, and it's trying to almost get out of your head that if you don't get something done, that it's the end of the world. I spoke to Marty just yesterday, and I think we spoke about it last week in regards to how our program's set up. We had to push a workout a day forward a day, and that's okay. I think people tie themselves into this narrative that everything's going to be perfect every day, but the reality is different stresses are going to pop up, and necessary stresses are going to pop up. So being able to understand that you're still creating momentum in this specific area that you feel like you're failing at is imperative to kind of reinforcing kind of positive behaviors. And again, I've never managed a $50 million account, and the thought of it puts hairs on my arms. But obviously, again, going back to what Ben always talks about, I think understanding that pressure is a privilege as well. And the fact that you've been entrusted, not ideal, but you've been entrusted with all that shows that you're doing something right within your professional life, which again, it's very easy to feel overwhelmed and think, but the reality is you're one man and you can only do what you can do. And you know you need another body. So it's not trying to drive yourself into the ground and having over-optimistic expectations of yourself of what you can achieve if you just kind of do what's necessary. And however that looks, that's again for the powers that be in that. But it's being able to circumnavigate those three areas and just understand that you're not going to be able to fill each cup equally. But as long as you're doing something towards the personal, the physical, and the professional, that's going to be the most important thing to keep momentum, because momentum is not always a linear trajectory. There's going to be bumps in the road. A fat loss journey, it wants to look like this. A muscle gain journey wants to look like this. A performance goal wants to look like this. It's always staggered. And there is going to be pitchforks in the road. And I always say, like to my guys, if we miss a meal or we have a, I'll use a, I'm British, so we have a night out on the lash, we're on the beers. Okay. That's not a failure. It's just your ability to kind of, what's your reaction to that? Is do you write the whole weekend off? And I use the analogy, if you've got $1 million in your pocket and you chuck $1,000 away, would you then chuck the other $999,000 away? You wouldn't. So it's understanding what is the lowest hanging fruits, what are the smallest levers to keep the momentum going in A or D specific area that's required. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think honestly, the big part of my stress has been coming from the fact that, things were going really well. I felt like I was firing on all cylinders, and then I kind of berate myself for failing on, hey, I didn't get up this morning. I'm overwhelmed, and my alarm goes off at 5, and sometimes one of the kids will wake up, and I'll be like, oh, I got to try to get them back to sleep. I don't have the time to go focus on myself physically, and it's just kind of an overwhelming thing. So your point about just taking a minute to say, okay, what's the bare minimum? If I can't get it in today, that's fine. Can I eat right? Can I at least do something? Because quite frankly, the spot I'm in professionally right now is some of that stuff has to get done. If that means 10, 12-hour days, that's part of it. I try to limit the impact that it has on my family. I always try to make time, around dinner time, whatever, when the kids get home, to just focus on that. But the physical stuff takes a beating, and then the other challenge is that if I'm not in the gym or if I don't take some time to do some heavy cardio or something, my anxiety tends to go up a little bit. So I'm trying to figure out, I just take the dog for a 1 mile sprint around the neighborhood and just get my heart rate up, and that,
And
8 minutes, I'm done.
what do you think the anxiety around not doing something heavy or quick lifting is? What's the anxiety that usually creeps in?
Usually just I use exercise as a pressure valve. I mean, that's typically like, oh my God, I got all this pressure, and then I do something hard, like, as much as I hate leg days, I do heavy leg day. And I'm like, I have accomplished something, and I still feel like I've moved the needle. But the last month or so, it's been real rough to even get a full training session in, if that makes sense. And so I just kind of feeling a little bit overwhelmed and a bit like a failure, and then that kind of compounds.
And that's what it is, and it's being able to again look at it objectively. That for me, you again, we know that there's so many different markers of success and kind of positive progress, and looking at those three different areas, you're now at your son's ninja class, right? You could be working, okay?
Could
So
be.
positive thing in that, so you're showing up as a dad, which again we would all agree on this call is one of the most important things, is kind of being an example to your children, right? And so kind of that's a positive. And for me, it's just finding solace in other areas, and kind of again going what I'm going to talk about in a second is not tying your identity to one thing, and being able to kind of move things around and understand and get to the depths is what attachment have you got to that thing of training hard and doing a heavy leg session, because there will be a psychological attachment to it that quite often will be a habit that is almost confabulated into a story that you tell about yourself. You're not a success unless I've had a hard workout, for instance, as an example. But that's simply not true. Like missing one workout doesn't change the trajectory you're on, doesn't change affect your body fat. It doesn't kind of change your performance or your strength. It doesn't change anything within your realm. But just one missed workout can sometimes feel like the end of the world. So it's just being able to itemize and I suppose compartmentalizing it into kind of the word I'd use, which is probably an English phrase that it might not transcend over there, but it's not that deep. It's not that deep. And how you can, the anxiety that's created is not warranted because the facts are kind of, are you showing up as a father? Are you still showing up to the gym as much as you physically can, which may be 2, 3 times a week? Yes. Will that still constitute moving the needle forward? Absolutely. So there's more parts when we look at transformation, and I talk to my guys a lot about this. Like, transformation is so multifaceted. It's not just tied to the aesthetic condition that you're in. There's so many other markers to it. And if during this difficult time you can kind of find other parables to measure your level of success to, that's going to be important. And kind of, I think it's just reframing certain things to kind of understand that. There is no failure. There is no failure. There's lessons. There's the ability to kind of pivot. And as long as you're seeing progress in somewhere, that's to be celebrated. And like I said to you a second ago, the fact that you're at your son's ninja class this morning, you've made that, even though you could be pulling 12, 16-hour days at work, that in itself is a success, is showing up for your son, where you could have said to your other half, I've not got time this morning, you take him. So kind of for me, it's always pulling out the little things and understanding that the gym's not going anywhere. Do we want to keep constant action? Yes, we do. But is it sometimes impossible to micromanage everything? Yes. Does that change the trajectory of the progress that you can expect to see? No, because we can manage food. We can make sure we're eating right. We can make sure we're sleeping right. We're recovering right. We're kind of doing all the things that kind of will facilitate our body still working in an optimal position. The only thing missing is the training. So it's our other areas of your life being ticked alongside when you're not training. And if you find that food's slipping and you go into bed late, you're doom scrolling at 11 p.m. We know that they're the things that you can improve and kind of start to work on until things start to lighten up and we can start to put the gas down on the training, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so after this, I'll let somebody else talk, but I do have a quick question for you. So over the last, I'd say, month, like I said, the pressure has gone up. I'm not typically a caffeine guy, but I'm finding that, I'm looking towards like the Celsius drinks or anything to get that boost of caffeine. How bad is that? I mean, again, I don't drink coffee typically.
Do you drink coffee out of choice or because you don't like it?
I don't care for coffee. Occasionally, when I go to India, I'll drink filter coffee, but I
So
don't.
for me, caffeine, you just got to be looking at kind of the sugars in the drinks. Like, I'm not a big fan of energy drinks per se. I'd rather have a coffee because obviously from a standpoint, obviously it goes into your adenosine receptors, and a lot of the studies are showing that kind of caffeine is actually kind of a positive, like where it's always seen as a bad thing. But depending on how affected you are by stimulants, if you've had your genetics done and those sort of things, that will tell you kind of if you are very receptive to stimulants, obviously nothing after 12 p.m. But caffeine derived drinks at this moment in time, if you're doing it to prop up energy and you're not taking care of all the recovery markers, i.e., an evening routine, kind of good quality sleep, breath work, meditation, gratitude, or journaling, all the things that we can do to decompress that nervous system, then I'd say tackle that first before turning to that. But on the odd occasion, I wouldn't be adverse to have it. I've got people that kind of have them, kind of, and to me, it's not, if that's kind of what you want to turn to for a little boost of energy to get you into the gym, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. I think it might have been yourself and Austin were talking about pre-workouts and those sort of things. But also kind of what I'm going to talk about tonight on the slides is just the intention as well and setting the intention. Like I heard you say earlier on in regards to you wake up, kind of you
Yeah,
should be.
I apologize. I'm getting a phone.
No worries, mate. No worries. So is that's okay. So yeah, guys, obviously we'll get to questions, but sorry that took a little bit longer than normal. We'll get to questions in a second. So as you guys will know, kind of tonight is very much understanding the difference between identity and discipline. Okay, so as you guys all know, and those of you guys that are new, welcome, Ken, obviously Marty, Mike. Kind of, I've not seen you guys on the call before. Obviously, Marty, I work with you. So, what I always say is, I've got a particular set of slides that I'll run through. I like to teach it almost like a class, but it's not as regimented a class. So, if I'm talking, as you guys can hear, I'm British. I speak really fast. Kind of, I like to get a lot of information in. So, if you guys have any questions, just unmute yourself. Dan kind of can ask a question on this because I'm not actually going to be able to see your guys' faces if you do put your hands up as we talk through. So I've got a little slideshow for us tonight. So kind of let me just share my screen if I can get it up. Here we go. Can everybody see that? Okay. Just a little thumbs up that everyone can see it. Perfect. Right. So identity versus discipline. So what I try to do with these talks, guys, is give you as much of information as possible. So not just talking about identity and discipline as a kind of thing. What I try to do is teach it as best as possible. As you guys know, I'm massive mad into psychology and mindset. So I try to look at the neural connection between these and go a little bit deeper into kind of what they all are from a neuroscience standpoint and how it affects and potentially what we can be tweaking and changing to facilitate a sustainable transformation. Because for me, a sustainable transformation is not just physical. As I just said to Bill, it's not just aesthetic. It's changing and you becoming the person that you want to be. You guys have all filled in intake forms, and most of the clients that I see is to be a better husband, to be a better partner, to be a better boss, to be a better father to young children. So you've all got very diverse goals in regards to what optimal looks like to you. So it's not just a physical. So what I think, kind of from an identity and discipline standpoint, we want to understand is kind of that discipline is temporary and identity is something that kind of is subconscious. So what I'll go through tonight, we've got the learning aims here, just a little bit into the scientific definitions of identity and discipline, why identity drives behavior more than willpower, the limits of discipline and how to overcome them, a little bit of neuroscience in regards in around habit and self-concept, a little bit of a framework to build an elite level identity. So what sort of things can we be looking at in our extrinsic environment that can potentially allow us to start living a little bit more authentically towards a person that we want to become, and then practical applications for performance, physique, and personal success. So starting off, we've got identity. So identity and what it means to me is who you are when no one's watching. And I always say, kind of, I'm very good at working hard in the dark. I'm a great wingman. I'm a great second in command because nobody actually knows I'm here, but I'm always grinding away at something and kind of in a down a rabbit hole somewhere looking at something. And kind of for me, identity is the actions that you undertake when there is no visibility, there is nobody watching. And kindly, your actual identity is quite often characterized as the internalized story of who you are. So it's that internal messenger. It's what you tell yourself and what you believe about yourself. That is your identity. And we've all been guilty, and we've all of us sat on this call have been guilty of potentially at one point in our life. And it's been it's become very fashionable now, but imposter syndrome, right? We've all done something or been somewhere where we've acted out a story when we're actually fearful, or we've kind of we're worried about an outcome, or we might not know what we're doing. So identity for me is typically it's the internalized story of who you are. So the neurological basis of identity is all based around the DMN or the default mode network. Okay, so for those of you guys that have never heard of this, your default mode network is an area of your brain that becomes primarily active when your mind is resting or not focused on anything extrinsic or in the outside world. So if we wanted to characterize what the DMN is, sorry, it's almost like your autopilot. It's when you're not conscious. So typically, it's going to be most active when you're daydreaming, when you're reflecting or thinking about things regarding yourself. potentially thinking about your past and your future. When you're judging yourself or subconsciously or consciously judging others, and sometimes mentally rehearsing scenarios. So that's typically what your default mode network is. And the biggest thing for me is, why does it matter? Why does it matter for your transformation? Because primarily, the DMN is where your self-identity lives. Okay. It will typically create and maintain your inner narrative. So whatever your inner narrative is, your DMN will essentially confirm this. So we often hear things, and you guys have may have been guilty of this yourselves. Okay. So some thrown out phrases there. I'm not a morning person. I've always been fat. I'm not built like those guys. They're all kind of inner narratives that we tell ourselves, potentially to keep ourselves safe and protected, but also for some people, not all people, to avoid doing the hard work. You've often heard me speak about kind of do the hard shit, and Ben says it quite a lot. And I'm a big believer in that, is where there's challenges, growth, where there's no challenges, growth. And quite often, we're very guilty, and going back to previous webinars that I've done, I've spoke about kind of the negativity bias and your subconscious taking up a massive part of that, and your amygdala kind of being a massive, making, taking a massive role of the negativity bias that we have within our brains that keeps us safe. Okay, so it's a protective mechanism. We sometimes don't want to push ourselves out of the proverbial box because we want to stay safe. We fear perceived failure. We fear not being a success at something. So that kind of negativity bias kind of keeps us safe. So the DMN itself is, it's responsible for who you believe you are. So essentially self-concept. Things like social comparison, things like judgment, ruminating thoughts, and also it's responsible for things like negative identity loops, which we're going to talk a little bit about in a bit. So almost to summarize identity, if you're stuck in repeating patterns that frustrate you, or you're stuck on a narrative of old stories of, I can't do this because, that would be an indication of your DMN is running those loops on repeat. So to change our identity, we essentially need to change those loops and the things that we talk to ourselves about and how we act. So identity for me is the biggest player when it comes to changing habits and becoming the authentic version of yourself, or the person that you want to be, that we often talk about. Okay, so moving into discipline. So discipline, again characterized, is it's a conscious override of instinct to do what's hard. Okay, so the neurological bias to kind of discipline all is all based around the prefrontal cortex. So those of you guys that have heard previous webinars, and for the guys that haven't, okay, the prefrontal cortex itself, it controls things like decision making, focus, willpower. You'll see up there in regards to delay gratification, sorry, something that we want to work hard on. But the thing with discipline is it's very resource intensive. So it depletes very quickly. So when there is stress in the system, which we know stress is inevitable, and which is why we try to dampen stress when we're tired, when we've got distractions. So again, we look at Bill as an example. Kind of, he's got a lot of spinning a lot of plates at the moment. So discipline on its own, singly, is not going to be enough to keep Bill in the, and probably hasn't up to this point kept him in the flow. That's where identity comes in. So for me, how we ca you, it was great that Fudge said it earlier on in regards to motivation. I don't believe motivation is a thing. I'm not a big fan of the word motivation because it's nothing. It's just a poof of it. It's not really anything substantial that's gonna allow us to keep our attention on any task that we set our mind to. So I've put there in regards to discipline being training wheels, and it's not the engine. So for me, kind of, it's very important that discipline throughout this process, if you guys, and there's a few of you guys on here that are right at the start of your journey, discipline to start with and the prefrontal cortex is essential. But as we move through this process, it's important that we start to shift our behavior into identity and the DMN to sustain. Okay, so essentially, discipline starts to change, identity makes it permanent because you start to do things unconsciously and things that kind of all, are all geared to your greater goal, whatever that may be, in regards to being a better father, partner, being in better shape. It's all the different goals that you have, kind of starting with discipline and then moving into identity change is going to be super important. So what I've tried to put down is just so we have a nice comparison of why and identity over discipline, and just to give you a little bit of context around kind of what's the difference between them, I've created a little graph here, and just showing the definition, the brain region, the duration, behavior source, and key limitations. So looking at it, the definition of identity is who you are. Discipline is what you do. So remember, identity is intrinsic, discipline is extrinsic. So a lot of what we're talking about and a lot of our thoughts, they aren't external to us. It goes on between your ears. So that shows that identity is important. The brain region that we use, the DMN, obviously for identity, and then the prefrontal cortex for the discipline. Again, remembering that the prefrontal cortex under duress, fatigue, stress, and those sort of things can be easily worn out. So discipline may fade, start to wane a little bit, which is why identity is important. Again, from a duration standpoint, when we talk about the word transformation, for me, and Marty will have heard me say this, with every guy that I work with, I want you to work with me for a period of time. And once we end our working relationship, hopefully in a couple of years, if we work together that long, that you're able to sustain and continue to improve because everything that I've taught you from a mind, body, and physical standpoint, training, nutrition will stick with you forever. So the duration of changing identity is going to be long term and it's very sustainable. Okay. Discipline, for all it's worth, is great short term, and it's imperative that we do show discipline to learn new things and be able to take on new information. But it also has a limited capacity. And throughout the process, you are going to have times where things hit the buffers and you hit the skids, where things are going to be a little bit more difficult. So it's important that we start to lean into identity when that happens, when discipline starts to wane. Okay. The behavior source, essentially, identity is always subconscious. Okay. So it happens automatically. So you don't even have to think about it. Whereas discipline, it's a conscious thought. You have to think about doing, I'm going to get up at 5:30. I'm going to. Whereas, again, going back to one of the first slides, the example of identity, I am an athlete. You don't try to eat clean or train. You just get up and do it. It's literally just part of your life. You don't have to plan it. It is already there, nailed down as something that you do on a day-to-day basis. So understanding that identity is very subconscious, whereas discipline is a conscious thought. And then the key limitation with identity, it's very inflexible. So it's set in stone. So whether the identity is positive or negative, quite often when people come in or kind of people that I've worked with in my 20 years, a lot of their kind of subconscious thoughts and how they feel about themselves is inherently negative. So when I say identity is inflexible, it's one of those that your actions will kind of be that of how you feel about yourself. And you it, you you're totally unaware of it. So when you're in a good space, you'll just do things automatically without even having to think about it. But and you'll do it without awareness. Whereas kind of the key limitation to discipline is it will burn out under pressure. And I've said a couple of times now, stress, poor sleep, poor recovery, overworked, underrested, all those sort of factors are going to play into potentially discipline waning. You have those guys that just run through it and just keep going for it, and that's a great skill to have. But relying on that continuously for the next 6, 12, 18, 24 months without changing the identity and living towards that authentic self or working towards that authentic self, we could reach a few kind of sticky situations. So moving on to the next slide, I've got a quote up there, but that I'm going to leave the quote there for a second. But kind of just talking, I want to use this slide to talk a bit about the research. So kind of there's a lot of research that's been done at different behavioral labs. So kind of things, places like Stanford, Yale, Duke. I can put the resources below this webinar, but kind of there's a couple that basically say that habits are sustained. Are sustained not by goals but identity alignment. Okay. And basically, self-confident concept change is the strongest predictor of habit performance. So, what we know through research is it's great to have goals. Okay. But your goals have got to be intertwined with your identity and the person you are. And understanding that self-concept change is essentially the strongest predictor of habit performance. So your ability to continuous have habits, which what have you guys got that you can take stock of and kind of track your habits? You've got your habit tracker, which is why it's so important that we utilize that, because I'll speak a little bit later on in regards to the verbal and what you talk to yourself about, but kind of being able to just kind of have those 5 to 7 habits a day to tick off, just give you that constant reminder. I've spoke on previous webinars, and I'm a big fan of gratitude journaling. Gratitude is one of the biggest tools to start to change your identity because it speaks life into yourself. And for those of you guys that don't have massively positive environments and have people that understand the psychology continuum and have people that speak life into you, it can be a very lonely place. So I always think gratitude from a changing of identity is super important. And I've just the actual kind of quote there is from a book called Atomic Habits. If you haven't read it, read it. It's by a chap called James Clear, and there's a section in the book where he says every action you take is a vote for the type of person that you want to become. So it's not just doing the do, it's actually, again, going back to my first slide, when nobody's looking, are you eating the right foods? When kind of there's chaos in your life, are you still actioning the right things that substantiate you becoming the person you want to be and show up for your family? So I've got a little bit of an example. I've got a client of mine who's in Bahrain, Nasser. So when we first started this process, he's been with me for I think 8 or 10 months now. One of his bigger goals was he's from generational obesity, is kind of, he's been, all his family are overweight. There's quite a few of them that are type 1 diabetic, quite a few that are diagnosed type 2 diabetic. And one of his bigger goals was coming in was his son basically said to him, kind of, Daddy, you're starting coaching. He didn't know who we are, but can they make you, are they going to make you a superhero? And his son was, I think he was 9 or 10 at the time. So all my premise has been over the 8 months, and we had a conversation today, and he's lost, what's he down, 25 kilos, and he's starting to look really good. We've got another 8 months where we'll carry on. We've got a goal set for being in the best shape of his life in the next 6 to 8 months. But his identity kind of before coming in was a fat man. Whereas as we've started to lose weight, we're now starting to tie, as silly as it sounds to people, we're starting to tie an identity to what his son believes is going to be a superhero. And he actually said a couple of months ago, "Oh, Dad, you're a partial superhero," which was amazing to hear. But everything when we talk about kind of, he has a really high pressure job. He looks after his siblings, his mother who's not very well. Kind of, there's a lot of kind of stuff going on with the family. So there's a lot of overriding factors that could allow him to fall off track, not complete his training, not stick to his nutrition, not get to bed on time. There's so many factors going on in his life, but he's tied himself to this idea, my son wants to see me as a hero. So he's tied his whole identity to what he wants to become at the end of his process. And yes, if we wanted to look at it in a different way, he just wants to be in shape. He wants to be in the best shape, and he wants to stave off obesity and create generational change. But his identity is based around becoming a superhero. And that sounds very silly, but it gives him a goal to drive towards and just being in the best shape of his life. It's not good enough. But kind of being a superhero to his son, that for him is everything. And he's such a proud father to three children. So for me, kind of, time. I'm not saying for one second that everybody has to want to be superheroes, but starting to live your life in congruence with who you want to become is super important to kind of changing that identity and being authentic. So, identity itself, like every single one of us, potentially at some point of our life, has had a story that holds us back. So, one that I often hear is, oh, I've got a slow metabolism. Kind of, I'm not built for this. I've never been consistent. I'm not an athlete, for instance. I'm just trying to lose weight. These are identities. And the positive thing is, these can be changed. NASA was one of those people where we had an in-depth conversation. We looked at the science behind slow metabolism, and I disproved the theory that he has got a slow metabolism. There's just been a lot of dysregulation in his life and a lot of poor nutritional control and training. Okay, but understand that these things that we say to ourselves, it's essentially just identity in disguise. And the positive thing is they can be changed. Okay, and how typically I see men get stuck, one of the biggest things, not for you guys, but people outside of this program, I'm too old now. I don't have time. I've always struggled with food. I can't focus. I don't have it like other guys. Like they're all essentially statements that I've heard throughout my career. But ultimately, all these are broken down to their purest form is they're just internalized narratives. They're not actually facts. I often say the more you say them to yourself, the more real they become. And when I say thoughts and talks become things, that's exactly what I mean. Because we talk ourselves and start to believe, pardon my French, our own shit. And if we stop doing that and telling ourselves why can't we do something and actually flipping the scale on that and say, well, what can we do? Like similar to what we're saying with Bill at the start, that's going to be super important because we're all going to have sat on this call internalized narratives that are very unhelpful for us. So being able to identify those, being able to kind of start to flip those 180 are going to be important for, and again, when we're looking at things like gratitude journaling, quite often, with a lot of men that I tend to meet, myself included, I've found a lot about myself as I've grown older. And from a young age, I had low self-confidence, low self-efficacy, low self-worth through a lot of stuff that had happened in my life. But I used to kind of, again, there was a lot of stories that I used to tell myself that were unhelpful. So with my gratitude for the last, gosh, 10, 12 years, everything's based around identity. It's all based around self-love. And I remember in my earliest form of journaling, I wrote one thing for probably, it must have been 6 to 12 months. And the only thing I wrote in a journaling diary, because I convinced myself I couldn't journal, I wasn't very good at it, it's stupid, it's silly. All I wrote every single day was, I am enough. I am enough. I am enough over and over. And I've still got the journal in my bedroom and it's just got pages of pages with a date on. I am enough because that's all I needed to tell myself. And slowly but surely, you start to add things to it and you start to understand that if we can identify our own deepest fears, our own limiting factors, that's the biggest mechanism for change. And the good thing about you guys being on this call and working with muscle intelligence is 96% of the world. Guesstimate, that's not a fact. Don't ever go to this level to create happiness. I think happiness comes in the form of a new pair of shoes, a monetary or a materialistic thing, a holiday to the Maldives. But the reality is, none of that breeds actual, true, authentic happiness. And you guys are in this place for a reason because you're surrounded by some of the greatest minds in the industry, but your peers that ultimately, from a community standpoint, are going to help you and call you out on your shit. And most importantly, make you look deep inside yourself to become the best version of yourself that you can be. So understand all these narratives that these internalized, the difference between internalized narratives and identities, they can all be changed. So I'd implore each and every one of you listening and on this call is after this call over the next few days, try to understand how you talk to yourself. Again, what you say to yourself, like Bill did when you miss a workout, how you feel when you miss a workout, oh, I'm a failure. That's an internal narrative. That's the message you're telling yourself, but it's not actually a fact. It's just a thought. And if you can start to decipher what's thought and what's fact, and if with every thought, if you can back it with two or three facts that substantiate that thought, then it's a real thing. But quite often, the thought that you're thinking, if I was to say, right, what are you thinking? Oh, I'm a terrible person. If I told you to substantiate that with factual evidence that that is true, there is very few statements that you make to yourself that you can do that unless you're not a very nice person, which I don't think any of you guys listening on this call are. You're not bad people. So understanding the difference between thought and fact is going to be super important in changing how you feel about yourself. And quite a lot of the times, guys, puffy chest show up, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. But after being around bodybuilding for long periods of time, and Ben probably won't thank me for this, is the lowest confidence I've ever seen in a population of people is in the bodybuilding realm, because they're all in great shape, but this internal dialogue and how they talk to themselves and how they talk about themselves in third person, it's terrible. They have some of, not all bodybuilders, a lot of people go down that route because they want to get in shape to feel better about themselves when they're missing the massive trick by just not looking at the biggest thing, which is what is between your ears. And the good thing about, I spoke today to a client about understanding how as human beings is the only thing we have control of in life, not anything external of our being. It's what thoughts we kind of receive and give out and put out into the world. And the best thing is you're in control of that, and there is not anything that can take away from you. There's nothing anybody that can say or critique you about that can affect you. Because ultimately, as long as you're authentic and you know the person you are, there's very little things that can come in and disrupt how you feel about yourself. I often talk about external validation, and in the world we live in, there's so much requirement for external validation, when what a lot more people need to start doing is validating themselves and celebrating themselves, because inherently we have all got good inside us, and we are all good people. And no matter what happens, we do good things, we do bad things, but inherently we're not born bad. But most importantly, trying to see the good in everything that we do is going to be super important to kind of changing that identity. So the next slide is just, well, I called it the identity upgrade formula. Okay, so it's got three parts to it. I've spoke quite a lot about this already, because I always like to talk ahead from my slides, because I kind of like to go off a little bit on a little bit of a ramble. But kind of I've got three parts to kind of this identity upgrade formula. So starting with behavior. So I've got used discipline intentionally. So with kind of using discipline, you can't think your way to a new identity. You have to actuate there. Okay, and how do we do that? Start with tiny, high integrity actions. Okay, I don't want any big substantial change. Start with tiny, high integrity actions. So what does that look like? It might be train when you feel don't when you train when you don't feel like it. It might be wake up on time when you don't want to, or set a challenging wake up time and stick to it. Don't get up when your alarm goes off at 7 a.m. Bring it forward half an hour. Challenge yourself to kind of get up a little bit early. So what does that mean? You have to bring your bedtime forward half an hour. So set challenges in regards to what sleep and wake routines. Going back to what I said, eating something like eating clean when nobody's watching. And most importantly, and I think the biggest one in regards to the tiny high integrity actions, is follow through on commitments. When you commit to something, follow through with it. Follow through with it. And I'm not talking about commitments to other people. I'm talking about commitments to yourself. Sit and make commitments to yourself and hold yourself accountable. I often talk to my clients about Sundays. Sundays is a day where I ask my clients to do a little bit of a self audit. How has your week been? What have you not been as successful as we'd like to have been at this week? Okay, that's our stimulus for change next week. What area can we be 1% better? Not 5%, not 10%, just 1% better. What can we make a tiny bit? What can we move the needle a little bit? And that's what self audits are for. Okay, because these are not just habits. These essentially are going to be votes for your future self. So using discipline intentionally and kind of from a neurological standpoint, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be training that prefrontal cortex to override your what is your default emotional brain. Okay. And then over time, what's going to happen with these actions is they're going to almost become encoded in a part of your brain, which we call the habit center, which is basically called your basal ganglia. Okay. Which is what is, for those of you guys that haven't or don't know what the basal ganglia is, it's basically it stores and automates repeated behaviors. So that's why we call it the habit center. So it's the basal ganglia. So essentially, once a habit has formed, the basal ganglia will take over, allowing you to perform a task without conscious effort, so unconsciously. What that will then do with your prefrontal cortex is it's going to free up. Okay, so remember, your prefrontal cortex is essentially your willpower center for new challenges. So again, these little habits that you're creating, and I talk about the votes for your super self, but neurologically, it's actually having a massive impact in kind of a repatterning, or we call it neuroplasticity, of changing how your brain works consciously and unconsciously. Okay, so remember, discipline itself is a bridge, it's not the actual final destination. And then moving into step two, and something I spoke about earlier and I'm massive on is speaking life into yourself. Okay, reinforcing your identity through language. Those of you guys that have heard me speak before, I'm a big proponent of internal dialogue and kind of understanding that we have so many, well, 20 anywhere between 20 and 30 into 20 to 30,000 internal dialogues a day. Okay. Not all of them are going to be positive. It's impossible, but can we make a large percentage of those possible? Absolutely. Okay. So action by itself, singly, isn't enough. Okay. You have to speak these things and write these things into existence. Okay. Why? So language itself has actually been shown to activate the DMN. Okay. So remember, the DMN is where the self-concept lives. Okay, so if we combine that action and language, what that's going to start to do is lock in that new identity. So I said to you earlier, I told you one of mine. I am enough. Just something like simply, I am enough. You can use things like, I'm a disciplined man. I don't negotiate with comfort. I follow through even when I don't want to. This is who I am, and make broad statements of who you are as an individual. They're all essentially going to be feeding that DMN. And it's what it's going to create is, going back to what we spoke about earlier, is a new narrative loop. Okay. Essentially, I'm a big believer in you become what you repeat in action and in thought. So for me, and those of you guys that know me well enough by now, I'm mad into psychology. So kind of thought derived is super important. So remember, you become what you repeat in not just action, but also in thought. Obviously, Marty will know from my extensive video feedback over the first week or so, but I get really into depths about what you're thinking about when you're exercised. Because again, if we look at the neurology of a contraction, a chemical messenger is sent to your brain to a particular joint to contract a muscle. So even exercise itself is very thought derived, and everything that you need in your life is contained within your brain. So kind of, for me, kind of understanding that is super important. And then the third and final point is talking a little bit more about environment. Okay, so I'm a big believer that your environment is either reinforcing your identity or destroying it. Okay, so what are we talking about when we look at environment? Okay, who you surround yourself with, what you see, you read, you hear, you eat, you wear, and take in, kind of is all going to have a profound impact of kind of reinforcing. Okay, so as an example for me, you guys have all joined a brotherhood here. Okay, of every single one of the men within this community have exceptionally high standards. Okay, do you think that you're going to become of equal? So going back to what we spoke about already before, there's going to be parts, and I'm sure you've all felt this, you've heard people speak or you've seen results, and that kind of self-imposed limit, shall we say, all that negativity bias has crept and said, I could never get results like that. But understand, kind of, as a community, we're here to tell you that you can achieve anything that you want to achieve. But surrounding yourself with high value, high standard men is only going to increase the value that you have in yourself and increase that identity. We all know about removing kind of the negativity bias from an internal dialogue standpoint. We've said before, if you have to rely on willpower, your environment is broken. Okay, so surround yourself. Look at friendship groups. If you're the type of person that can't go a weekend without going and spending it with the boys and those sort of things, and your boys, even though you might not be getting smashed, your boys are still getting smashed every weekend. Is that the right environment to be putting yourself in every weekend to see your quote unquote friends to substantiate the change of identity that you want? My opinion on that would be no. Okay, so understanding that kind of there is a feedback loop of identity and each part fit builds the next. So discipline builds behavior, behavior plus language reinforcement and identity. Your environment is going to cement that identity, and then the new identity that you're starting to create reduces the need for discipline. And then essentially it starts to work on that loop that we've spoken about a couple of times in the slideshow. So every day you're going to be living in alignment. And ultimately, if you're living in alignment every day, your identity can only get stronger. So your identity on a day-to-day basis is either being is either building is always being shaped. Okay, so it's up to you guys to curate and build the identity that you want. So for me, kind of you guys being here within this community, that's a big trigger, kind of. That is you guys starting to build the identity you want. Every one of us has got different identities, and that's important. We've got different goals, but we're all towing the same line. We're all rowing in the same direction. Okay. And for me, I'm a big believer from an identity standpoint, there is no pause button, there's no off switch. And that's what makes life fun, right? Because you're always chasing that next goal. I spoke to one of my clients, Filippo, today about perfection. There is no such thing as perfection. Once you achieve your goals, you move on to the next one, the next one, the next one. And understanding that every choice that you make is a vote for the man that you are or the man that you want to be. And it's just, it sounds very simple in its explanation, but it is as simple as that. Okay. And the reality in everything that I've spoken about tonight is you all have a choice. You all get to choose the person that you want to be. Okay. So this was one of my last slides in my old slideshow on grit and determination, but it was very appropriate for this slideshow as well. Your identity drives your outcome. So my final thoughts within the slides tonight are essentially you don't need more motivation. Motivation is not a real thing. You don't need another challenge. Okay. All you need to do to succeed, and it's not that difficult, it takes time, it takes perseverance, it takes you to be consistent, but you just need to become a man who does a hard thing, okay, until it's no longer hard. Identity is the edge. Discipline is a door, walk through it and never look back. And it's as simple as that. And it's going back to and finishing off is it's not going to happen today, tomorrow, this week, or next week. You guys have heard me speak so often about delayed gratification. Okay. The work you put in today is only going to come to fruit later on down the line from an aesthetic standpoint. But again, going back to your specific goal, the man you want to become, the husband you want to be, the father you want to be, the son you want to be, whatever it is your goal, okay, delayed gratification away from instant gratification is going to be so important to be able to just make sure that you start to become the man that you be. And so I hope that's been of value for you guys tonight. I'm going to stop sharing now so I can see all you guys. And what I'm going to do is open the floor up to questions. Obviously, I know Bill shut off quickly, but off today's slides, does anybody, I'd love to hear from people first and foremost if that resonated with anybody or anybody's got any kind of feedback in regards to challenges that they have that I can be a help with.
Yeah, I'll go. That was brilliant, Dan. I see that so much of this training really is about changing our identity. And we've talked about my identity in sport, but before as a sponsored triathlete and marathon runner, and the way that that kind of rewires your brain, trying to go long course, never fail. You've got to get to the finish line, but when you're working with heavier weights, you have to get closer to a muscular failure as opposed to, it's not a 140-mile race. And so, I guess maybe my question is like, with that previous identity for me being so strong, as we're working now, as I want to build the identity, if we're just talking physically, of being the strong 10% body fat, able to keep up with my child till I'm 100 years old, like as I'm trying to replace a really strong identity that is not as congruent with what I'm trying to build now, where's that low hanging fruit? And I know we'll be working on this directly, but like where the little the things to where do you start?
Yeah,
I mean,
great,
of
great
course, you
question.
kind of led to some of this, but like maybe a little more specificity.
Yeah, so great question. So for you, we know that your identity of who you are is understanding, it's detaching from your identity was encased in a marathon runner because it essentially wasn't. That the marathon runner and the triathlete didn't maketh the man, right? So kind of you aren't Marty Saul because you were a marathon runner. Before you were a marathon runner and a triathlete, you were Marty Saul. So for me, it's going back to the basics of kind of discovering who you are. You spent so long tying an identity to what you were doing, as opposed to actually fall in line with the stuff we've spoken about your previous careers and those sort of things. It was all encased in, I'm going to use a word and it just eluded me for a second, but it's all encased in kind of fabrication, right? It wasn't a real authentic glue because I know you, okay, and I've listened to the jobs that you do, and authenticity is going to be a big thing for you. And my first lowest hanging fruit with you is going to bring you back to authentically who you are when I know you're in mad love with your wife, and you, as a husband and as a father, they are your greatest skills. So bringing you back to that, and if we're looking at resistance training alongside that, is then tying into what is resistance training going to give you? So we spoke about your injuries, we spoke about joints and a few other different things that we're going to be working on from a structural balance standpoint. That's what weight training is going to give you. So for me, it's understanding that your identity was actually tied to a thing. We're bringing you back to understanding who you truly are. And we spoke about this in regards to the stuff that you've done, podcasts and those sort of things that are important, and just bringing you back to that baseline of you rediscovering you. So without even adding any training into the mix, I think just kind of tying in the weight training in regards to the things that we've spoken about from a structural standpoint is the first and most important thing that we do. But you doing it authentically as you, as opposed to be seen as something else.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. More about being, it's about human being, less of a human doing.
Yes, 100%. So kind of you as Marty Saul the athlete. So your identity was tied into an athlete when ultimately you before the athlete came Marty Saul. So taking you back to who you are and your belief systems and your, again, internal dialogues is the most important thing. And it sounds quite hippie, but kind of rediscovering you and what you've started to do over the last few years, since for the last 7 or 8 years, is I think you'll be able to openly admit that you've rediscovered yourself since you've met your wife, and kind of obviously with all the massive plans that you've got, and kind of that's not tied to any sort of sport or aesthetic goal, but understanding the weight training and the goals that we have from a composition standpoint, as long as you're doing them authentically yourself, that is the lowest hanging fruit. And kind of obviously from a strategy, we've got that all in place anyway.
Yeah, amazing, Dan. Thank you.
No worries, buddy.
Man, what an incredible presentation, Dan, an incredible answer. That was so great. I just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you, mate. With these two Ben Percustis on there, I'm just trying to be you, Ben. I've got your name on there in the bottom left corner, buddy. I'm just trying to be like you. That's all I'm trying to
See it,
do.
man. I see it.
Yeah. Are you well?
I'm so well, man. I heard you were on. I was like, oh man, I gotta get on.
Love
Yeah,
it. Love it.
talking to mindset.
Right. Anybody, did you unmute there, Bill? Or did I
Yeah,
just, yeah.
sorry. No, I got it.
No worries at all.
So
Don't apologize, mate. It's fine.
no, that's all right. I was having technical difficulties. I was just driving in the car. I've been listening the whole time, but I wanted to say thank you. I thought this was a really helpful session. Kind of
Did
my
that
big.
help with everything we spoke about at the start of the call in understanding kind of not tying, and probably a little bit what we said to Marty is not tying your identity to training, because again, that's not authentically you. It's looking at, and as we said at the start of the call, it's looking at all dimensions of your journey. And what I said halfway through the slides, which I tried to reference you in, is understanding transformation is multifaceted. And again, going back to what we said about for you at this moment in time, training is a privilege. It's not a chore. It's you get to train, okay? So because work's busy and everything's going on and you're trying to be a dad and everything, it's kind of not doing anything, because as humans, what we typically do is we procrastinate, which then creates overwhelm, and then we don't do anything. But doing something is better than nothing. And what is, again, what is your ability and what is your physical capabilities to get something in? Because I would imagine if we sat down here as a team and we looked at your 16-hour audit and we said, right, Bill, Monday through Sunday, show me your 16-hour audit. I bet collectively as a team here, we could say, right, you're working for 12 hours this day, that day, but we could find time. Okay. Just, I'm a big fan of the 16-hour audit with client, because kind of time. I'm not saying this personally to you, so apologies if it comes as to you, but
No.
no time is not a good enough excuse, because you will find time if it means enough to you. And if you can
Yep.
tie deeper meaning into why you want to do it and why, which we've said, your son's obviously at ninja class and those sort of things, you can tie deeper meaning to what training does for you, what training is to you rather than what it does for you, is going to be super important. And kind of, we've all seen your the amazing work you've been doing and kind of the great results you've gotten. I'm here to say that just missing a few trades isn't the worst thing in the world, but moving forward, if you can create a strategy around kind of how it fits into your life and fit it in using things like the 16-hour audit, that would be kind of my first port of call for you.
Yep. And I would also say just kind of some of the things you mentioned about, how I talk to myself. There's a very high pressure situation right now going on professionally. So there's a lot there. And as you said, everyone on this call has pretty high standards for themselves. So I think that narrative I'm going to adjust a little bit in order to make it a little bit easier. But I think that my adjustment over the next couple of weeks or even months is probably going to be, how do I get in the minimum viable? I mean, instead of working out 5, 6 days a week, it's probably gonna have to back off to 3 with maybe another short cardio session or something, just to keep my mental health in check. But no, I appreciate the time, and I think this was a good call. So thank you for putting it on.
No worries at all. I think it's important that everybody on this call, listening to this call, we as collectively as a team at Muscle Intelligence want you to have the highest of standards, the highest of standards for each and every one of yourselves, as long as it doesn't turn into critique. Okay? We want you to hold yourselves to the highest standards possible, personally for yourself, not for anybody else, not for your wife, not for your children, not for anybody else, to yourselves as men. Hold yourself to the highest standard, as long as that doesn't lead to kind of critique and negative self-talk and you talking bad about yourself. Because again, once you understand, as Ben talks about, your functional capacity, and you're able to be aware of your functional capacity, you're able to know what you're capable of. And exceeding that and going past your available functional capacity could lead down the road of overwhelm and kind of pushing the needle too hard. So going back to what Ben spoke about previously on podcast and kind of in post, understanding your functional capacity is going to be super important, so it doesn't lead to overwhelm and those sort of things. Right, guys. Is there any more questions before I shoot off? How was that, Ken? Was that okay for you, buddy?
Yes, it was very good. I appreciate it.
No worries at all. Great to meet you today. I love the t-shirt, by the way.
Oh,
No.
my son gave me this for Christmas. And oh, I gave you this hot dog shirt, Dad. I go, I only wear it when I play golf with him, and which is I play golf with him once a week, but it's like every month or so I put this shirt on, and for the most part I hate it, but it's like I'm gonna wear the hot dog shirt today.
I appreciate, mate, the fact that Ben will know the fact that you play golf and you're wearing a hot dog shirt. Like, I love it, mate. I love it. It's a great first meeting, mate. But
Thanks.
every time you come to my calls in future, you've got to wear the hot dog shirt
Okay,
there.
sure.
Okay. Perfect, mate. Great to meet you. And Mike, sorry I hadn't spoke to you, Mike. How was that for you, buddy? I've not met you before. How was that for you, mate?
I thought that was excellent. Sorry, I was just trying to figure out my mic there. No,
No
it's
worries
my
at
first
all.
call. Just hopped on. Yeah, just first call tonight. Just kind of joined up with you guys about a week ago now. Just getting rolling, and the pressure things at work, I could relate with that pretty highly. A different scenario for me, but no, we're involved here. small packs. And
I saw your message come through, which is why I wanted to ask you. And obviously with the talk tonight, with me talking about the few things around identity stuff, does that help with the question that you put in the chat at the start?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, I kind of just had a point in my journey too, where I really started to evaluate like the identity, what you're thinking about and how it kind of drives what you do or what you don't do. And yeah, it was very, very valuable. So
good, mate. Well, welcome to the best community in the world. I know it's only your first week, but we look forward to seeing you more on these calls as well, buddy.
Yeah, well, thank you for reaching out.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Man, my only addition to all the things Dan is saying is it supposed to be hard, guys? I always think about, like, sometimes the hardest times are an indication of what's to come, right? Like, so when you're in the fire, stay in the fire. And Marty, when you were speaking and I heard you're a triathlete, I was like, oh, you know, you're doing the same thing. It's just in a different avenue now. It's like when you're in the triathlon and you're like, hey, man, this is burning and my brain wants me to stop and everything about me is saying, get the hell out of here. I don't want to do this. You're like, oh, I'm in the right place. This is where I'm supposed to be. I put a smile on my face. I look really goofy. And then I just keep going, you know, and like that's it's going to be hard, man. And that's where growth happens.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely been hard phases in my life. And I looking back on them, you're always like, man, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be the man that I am. So learning to sort of flip the script and be like, thank you, right? Thank you for putting me into these difficult times. Even if you're intentionally putting yourself there, maybe especially if you're putting yourself there, right? Whatever it is, hard times are welcomed and expected.
Pressure is a privilege, right?
Such a gift.
Pressure is a
privilege. In the moment, you're like, let me
know. Yeah, but kind of, again, I think you hit the nail on the head. And I think I said earlier on is kind of, if it's not hard, it's growth comes in hard things, right? And so many people, and I said that earlier on the call, I don't know if it's on, there's going to be 95% of the men in the world that just go through life just coasting. They don't ever feel challenged. They don't feel hard. And aren't we so lucky as a community, as a team, to be challenging each other every single day to do the hard stuff? Because, I mean, I've been part of the team now for 3 years and I've grown massively in all areas of my life. And I've been in the industry for 20 years and I consistently grow speaking to these guys, being challenged by these guys. And like as I said to you guys earlier, you're part of the best community in the world. And it's yeah, we're all going to achieve great things. It's as simple as that.
One thing I want to throw at you guys, I was thinking about this a lot yesterday, sort of in my last thing. We all experience frustration, we all experience stagnation, we all experience resistance when those things, we all experience it, right? We're doing something, we come up on a roadblock and we're stagnant. We're like, oh, what do? I get frustrated, right? So we in that moment, most people distract themselves. They distract themselves with food. They distract themselves with social media. They distract themselves, even sometimes learning, the mental masturbation of grabbing something just to consume for the sake of consumption. People who are successful take imperfect action. In moments of frustration, take imperfect action. It doesn't have to be perfect. In moments of stagnation or frustration, take imperfect action. That may be like the way you summarize all this identity stuff is like, I'm the type of person who, when I feel stagnant, when I feel frustrated, when I feel like it's not going to be perfect, I take action to the best of my ability. Why? Because iteration happens when you take imperfect action. If you just distract yourself, you're not sure how to iterate. If you need support, you call a coach, right? So that's been a really big, you know, top of mind topic for me the last few days.
Love that. Love that. Perfect.
And well, that's really for you, Dan, man. I appreciate you so much. That was such a great call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you guys attending and spending your time with me today. Any questions, as always, email kind of coachdan@muscleintelligence.com. Obviously, speak to your coach, etc. Those of you guys that are going to listen back to this, I hope you find this valuable. Thank you very much for your time. And I look forward to speaking to you guys all again very soon. Take care, guys.
See everybody.